The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
What are you doing out there? These are your people.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Any special questions?
With your host, Tim Stein.
I'm not drunk.
Mace.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Omega.
Yeah, they're all going to die.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I want those little paint-happy bastards caught and hung up by their Buster Browns.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
You listen to WTR Sunday night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have Google Earth.
This is WTR Sunday night.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper. For heaven's sake.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Brother, life's a bitch. She's back in heat.
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the question.
Thank you.
take these glasses off, she looks like a regular person, doesn't she, huh? Put them back on, formaldehyde face.
Hot Rod was old school before old school was school.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am Omega, joined by Mace and Tim, and I think we cut the formalities out here because this is going to be a very different episode to start out with. As you know by the intro, we are doing our little goodbye and our memories of Rowdy Piper that we lost very, very unexpectedly. You'll excuse me if I put the goofy little intros aside for this week. Guys.
Well, how can we be funny on a situation like that? Seriously.
Oh, of course. God damn it. Mace, like, how you holding up? Like, I know this hit you, like, really hard.
Having trouble finding a voice right now.
You need a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tim Stein.
Well, I'll tell you. I get the text message while I'm at work from our producer, Sir Rockin, that Piper had passed. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And he filled me in on it. And I'm like, Jesus. And everything right from there just went into autopilot. What are we going to do? We've got to do a tribute. We've got to put something together. I put that 3-minute sound clip tribute together. The minute that I got home from work, the day that the news broke, and it was for me, everything was business. It was everything, you know, on the shelf, off to the side. This is what, you know, let's get this done. And I made it through everything without, you know, shedding a tear or losing it or anything like that. And I was holding up right up until we went live tonight, and then it hit. And yeah, I'm choked up. This is definitely not going to be an easy first hour of WTR Sunday night, everybody. No. And you know, I'm getting text messages already about how we're just making everybody cry right now. Well, you know what? Cry with us, because we all are shedding tears. We lost an absolute legend. You know, those two words get batted around so often for so many different people. What Rowdy Roddy Piper, a lot of you listening have had him in your lives for your entire lives. You Roddy Piper was around when you were born. Roddy Piper was raising hell and kicking the crap out of Hulk Hogan while you were growing up. Rowdy Roddy Piper was hosting Piper's Pit when you were chasing the girls or the boys or whatever you were chasing or whomever you were chasing.
Mr. Downey.
He was always, you know, he was always there. For somebody like me, admittedly a generation before the majority of people that hit the Wild Talk Radio Network, I'll admit it. Probably going to supplant Dick Clark as the world's oldest teenager. Roddy Piper, I knew him just after he broke into the business. Not personally, of course. That came later. But I knew who he was.
Sure, he was from Canada, and you seem to know everybody in Canada.
You would think so. I'll get to my Rowdy Roddy Piper story in a little bit as we talk about him. But born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. No, that's not native Ojibwe or whatever Canadian Indian speak. That's actually the name of the town. Saskatoon, the province Saskatchewan, the country Canada. He was born about 8-hour drive east of Calgary. He's lived all over Canada, and in a lot of places in the United States, finally winding up in Oregon with his family. But, talk about an indelible presence in the industry. Very few people will ever attain the status that people like Rowdy Roddy Piper has attained in his lifetime.
One of the greatest legends to never hold a world title, and you can use the phrase childhood hero, mm-hmm. and, you know, as weird as it is, you know, I grew up watching Piper, you know, I was born in 83. By 85, I was watching wrestling. And that's when, oh, I'm going to kill my dogs. bloody little thing won't shut up. But, you know, I grew up watching Piper, and, you know, Tim, you know, there's a good 10 years between you and I.
Yep.
And you can pretty much say the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're watching Piper as, you know, a child, a teenager. Yeah, you know, it's, but he's one of those people who sort of crosses the generational gap, really.
Absolutely. It's like, you look at it today, you've got the faction, you know, let's go Cena sucks. And then everybody's cheering the bad guy that fights John Cena during the matches. That was happening with Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper.
Yeah, he was... The funny thing was, like, for a majority of his career, Piper was a heel, yet he was sort of the proto Steve Austin.
Yep.
Yeah, he was so cool of a heel that you couldn't help but cheer him when he was being an evil bastard.
Well, that's one of his catchphrases, right? I was rowdy before rowdy was cool, and he was.
But yeah,
and
it's like, as you might notice, I'm having a bit of trouble speaking with it all. Man, like, you know, you got the text message while you're at work and that. Try waking up to this shit.
Yeah, no kidding. Of course, you're a day ahead and a few hours back of us, so.
Yeah, I was waking up and it's like, oh, shit, Piper's dead. And it sort of took a good 5-10 minutes before it clicked. It was like, what, huh? Hold on, bullshit.
Yeah.
Must confirm. Please, Twitter, do your usual bullshit and say that this is all crap.
Yeah.
Because... I couldn't take this shit again.
Yeah, like that was the first thing that I would have thought if I'd seen it on Twitter. I was at the movies when the news broke, so I was off the grid for 2 or 3 hours before I got back. And by then, it was everywhere. My Skype was lit up. I had Twitter lit up. Everything.
Yeah.
First thing I did was after, you know, getting up and trying to get some food and stuff. First thing, Hell Comes to Frogtown, followed by They Live,
yep.
2005 Hall of Fame, and then just random matches from WCW and WWF.
Now, how many people wound up watching Hell Comes to Frogtown and They Live between Friday and right now, right?
Probably more than watched it when they originally came out.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, most likely, yeah. I can't count that high, brother. So... But I guarantee you, yeah, millions upon millions of people streamed that thing, downloaded it, kicked it, looked for it on Netflix. Any place where it was potentially available, I'll guarantee you that the server slowed down online.
Well, I know the WWE Network was a bit chuggy with the 2005 Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yep.
So I'm sure a lot of people will search that straight up and, you know, some of his other matches and that. At some points, like, the entire network was on slowdown. So people were obviously looking for matches and whatnot.
Yeah, so.
That's why I'm glad I got a hard drive that's full of this shit.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I've got a 2-terabyte external hard drive that I actually picked up for, it was on sale for $60. I couldn't pass it up, and I've got so much stuff on that thing. I got to buy another 2-terabyte hard drive just to put more of this stuff on there. You know, I'm an avid movie collector, but, you know, of course, naturally, I got a ton of wrestling stuff, naturally, just because of who I am and, who we are. We collect matches. It's not a case of we'll find something on YouTube or whatever. We think it's a good match. We like that match. We like that wrestler. We like that character. We like that whole storyline. Guys like us will download and keep it, so we don't have to waste time looking for it. We know exactly where it is.
It's an old tape trading tradition. It's just modern now.
Yeah, this is what tape trading has morphed into. So, but goddamn, I'll tell you, he was my favorite heel of all time. And if anybody did not need to hold the you know, like in WWE. He did not need to hold the title. As a matter of fact, if he was ever WWE heavyweight champion, I just get the feeling that it would have diminished what his legacy wound up being, strangely enough.
Yeah, that's to a degree, but at the same time, you always wonder what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was always around the main event, so you always wondered, what could he do when he was the guy who was the flag bearer for the company? You know, if he was world champion, you know, what type of feud would we be getting out of that?
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, in the end, it didn't really matter, because no matter what he was doing or where he was, he always made sure that he was the guy that was going to stand out on the card, usually by giving some of the most batshit insane promos and, since the Ultimate Warrior tried to go to places unknown and babble, babble, bitch, bitch.
Mm-hmm. You see, the difference between the Warriors promo and Piper's promo, Piper was crazy. He was a lunatic, you know, he was the lunatic fringe. But you understood everything he said, and you understood where the promo was coming from.
Well, ultimately, yeah.
he took you on a spaceship to the planet Neptune.
to be honest, like, okay, Piper was Bugs Bunny, where the Ultimate Warrior was the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, shit, that works. I love your analogy. You know what? And I think Roddy would have enjoyed that analogy, too.
Wait, Roddy is who?
Bugs Bunny.
No. Daffy Duck.
We're getting Daffy Duck. Yeah, either one. Well, either one sucks.
Because he's supposed to be a bad guy, but, like, Piper was the original, like, wrestler who was so good at being the bad guy, you still cheered for him.
Well, you know, you look at Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny had a mean streak in him. The original Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny had a mean streak, so it works with Bugs.
Of course he did, but Bugs is always the hero.
Well, yeah, he's the hero, but still, I mean, like, take into account the mean streak, and it still works as far as I'm concerned. just because of the mean streak. And you never pick up on that mean streak that Bugs has until you're 20 years old and rewatching it 15 years later.
Yeah, reminds me. I've got to get that. I recently saw the Warner Brothers Classic Cartoon collection in the local DVD retailer, so I've got to go pick that up. But this is the one thing, like, the main reason why it hit me so bad when it all got put out there is I will always credit Piper as where I got my promo style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always quick on the ball, able to improvise a promo out of nowhere and make it relevant at the same time, yet entertain people. That was Roddy's way. You know, he had one of the sharpest wits in pro wrestling, and Ric Flair said it best at the Hall of Fame ceremony, is there's two guys you never want to verbally joust with.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby the Brain Heenan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Well, I could name three guys, but those are definitely, four guys, but those are definitely, definitely top two of all four.
Just agree with him and move on.
Well, I am agreeing. I was I'm rambling. And we've got absolutely no script for this first hour, people. We're just talking about the Hot Rod. We're gonna talk about our favorite moments with him on TV. Did you guys see him live at all at any point in time? Have you met him? Did you run into him?
Unfortunately, no.
Always forever will be a bucket list item that I will never get to fulfill.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, if I told you about it or not, but when Canadian All-Pro Wrestling was kicking in, basically still in its infancy, and we're getting ready to get going, Roddy Piper was here in Calgary. He was filming something called World of Hurt. Did you hear about this?
It rings a slight bell.
Okay, it was a video series that they filmed here in Calgary, and they used a ton of the local indie stars, and we've got country boy Aaron Frost in our chat room tonight, who's dropped his heel gimmick for the evening because of the Roddy tribute. But to tell you the truth, because Aaron basically got his chops thanks to Rowdy Roddy Piper, he's got a bunch of stories he could tell you. He met Roddy. Roddy basically gave him an absolutely huge pat on the back. And during this time, I had the opportunity to speak with the Hot Rod. And I told him that when we're good to go and you're back in Calgary, I would love to find out how much it would cost me to bring you in to just make an appearance and do an impromptu Piper's Pit at Canadian All Pro. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Oh, brother, don't even talk about money. You know, something like this. I love to help people out. And when I come to Calgary again and you're running, I'm going to show up. I'm going to help you out. Don't even worry about it. It's on me." That's my run-in, my personal run-in with the Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot of stories like that from all the stuff that's come out in the last few days. Like, over the last 5-10 years, he's been all about giving back to the fans, giving back to wrestling as a whole.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, oh, I'll do something for, you know, half a fee, or I'll do it for nothing. Hell, just being on an indie show, like, supposedly there's a indie show that's got his last Piper's Pit, and they're willing to put that out for free for everybody else. And it's always good to see when the guys sort of go, you know what, my time in the ring might be done, but I still want to give back to everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to cultivate the next generation. I want to make sure that this art form that we do, despite what some people say about it, yeah, it's just good to see this type of thing. It was a real pain in the butt because, like, it wasn't too long ago that Piper announced, you know, I'm cancer-free. You know, he's one of the unfortunate bastards that's had to do battle with the big C, and he came out winning.
Yeah, he had a bout with Hodgkin's lymphoma, I do believe it was it not? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hodgkin's disease. And he beat it. Damn it.
But he still knew everything his body had gone through. Like, he said in interviews that he knew he wasn't going to make it to 65.
Well, I was going to bring that up, and it's just a case of, self-fulfilling prophecy almost. And talk about being morbid. It was a 2003 interview with Bryant Gumbel. And there, just after he went back, he was around, I think he was, how old was he back then? Like 49 years old, right? So.
Or if you ask Dean Ambrose, he's 113.
Yeah, there you go. But, like in the age group that I'm currently in right now, and he said, you know, what is he going to do? His pension doesn't kick in until he's 65. He's got to do what he's got to do to make money. And he said, seriously, let's face facts. I'm not going to make it to 65. And when I came across that again today, because I remembered it just clicked right in. That whole interview, he got released by the WWE not too long after that happened, as a matter of fact, just because of the interview. Well, not just because of the interview, but it was one of the factors. Shit. Talk about calling your shot.
Well, some people just have that ability that they're able to sort of see things in a realistic perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, among some of the famous feuds that Piper had, of course, the most notable, Hulk Hogan. But one of the guys that he basically grew into the industry with, Adrian Adonis, was one of Roddy's best friends. He was his road partner, traveling companion, and they loved working each other. And the majority of the events that they worked each other, of course, were the and this is back territories. So I don't think that you could call it indies, but. It was all regional and mostly on the East Coast. And of course, they're both Canadians, and one of them is selling himself as the American nasty, you know, bad boy, and the other one is the Canadian good boy. And they used to tear the houses down all the time every time that they went out and worked each other. Best friends in real life. There's a TV show, I don't know if it's still going on, but they talk about celebrities and haunting. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, the show I'm talking about?
No.
No?
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Celebrity Ghost Stories, I think, or something like that.
Celebrity Ghost Hunters?
Not hunters, but because it's stories of these famous people and the run-ins with you know, the supernatural and stuff like that. Roddy Piper was on an episode, and he was talking about, this was just after Adrian Adonis got killed in that car accident, that he was in his house, things were kind of weird, and then he saw an apparition of Adrian Adonis standing there saying, "You're doing good, kid. Keep it up." And it was, that was like kind of spooky. And whether it was just a setup for the TV show or if it was genuine, I mean, he sold that episode like an absolute champion. Just freaky shit.
Yeah, those shows are always very weird to see, because it's like, yeah, they sort of real, I guess, if you believe in that type of thing, or yeah, I personally, yeah, take it or leave it.
So, well, anybody who knows me knows that I am so anti-religious and anti-theist that it's almost scary. I am a complete atheist, and I don't have any problems admitting it. I do believe in reincarnation, well, at least the possibility of reincarnation. That being said, what he described in this TV show, it falls into the realm of, you know, possibility as far as my belief system goes. you know, I don't condemn or shoot on anybody for what they believe in, and I hope nobody shoots on me for what I believe in. It's just, it's a personal thing for everybody, and that just happens to be, you know, the way my philosophies lean. I had a supernatural experience once when I was 19. Didn't involve any ghosts or anything like that, but it was kind of freaky. And I had it, so.
So.
Shit.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to sort of navigate around a show in this type of situation. I guess we'll sort of do the traditional thing, sort of like primers and moments and whatnot. Like, I know everybody's going to be replaying the Piper's Pit with Snooker and the coconut.
You know,
15 years before Snooker got revenge in TNA, of all places.
Yeah.
So does that really count because he got revenge in TNA?
No.
Different world, different dimension. Ric Flair isn't retired Rumbles, in that wasn't? Dimension.
Wasn't there one of the Rumbles where Snooker had the coconut? I know they had Piper come out for a Rumble 1 year, and Snooker was the follow-up. And everybody in the ring stopped, went to the corners or the ropes, and just stood back as you had Snooker and Piper in the middle of the ring, showing off, like, overacting like only they can do. And I think Snooker had the coconut, but I can't remember now.
No, I don't.
Let's see here.
You're not talking about something that happened in WWE now.
Yeah, it was one of the WWE Royal Rumbles.
Let's see.
So it's not like I could remember what happened.
Yeah, we have Rikishi getting Piper with a coconut.
No, you know what? Snooker did get him.
Might have been 2008. It could have been 2008.
Of course, after leaving WWE, they rekindled the rivalry between Hogan and Piper, only they reversed the roles this time. Piper was the baby face and Hogan was the bad guy. It was just Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah, WCW back in 97, which was
The Alcatraz promo.
Yeah.
So
where
bad.
Where Piper is yelling into a toilet to see if Hogan can hear him.
That promo was so bad it was good. I mean, I loved he's given the promo from the prison cell.
And the cameraman had no idea on how to frame the fucking thing at all.
Nope.
I actually rewatched that episode of Nitro the other day, and yeah, it was just fucking hilarious. It's like the camera's moving all the way trying to find the right spot. Piper's just keeps going on, drying it on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that was one of my best series for Piper and Hogan was that WCW era, because that's where I started getting really back into pro wrestling at that point in time, and seeing guys like Piper and Hogan in WCW is what started attracting me to that product.
Yeah. Well, Country Boy Aaron Frost just posted the YouTube link in the chat room for what you were just talking about, Mace. And for Omega's benefit, I don't know if I'll be able to copy this link, but I can try just to give you guys the link. No, I can't copy the damn thing. It's not working for me. I tried and I can't do it. I'm still getting used to Windows 10.
Oh, that's such a bad idea.
So I'm starting to wonder maybe I shouldn't have upgraded so quickly.
You always wait like a month before upgrading any version of Windows.
Well, I do that when new stuff comes out, like, to the stores, because that way, the price comes down and stuff like that. So I wait, and I don't have to be the first one.
Yes, but it's Windows, so you make sure shit actually works.
Yeah. No, point taken. Point taken, so. Oh, damn. Chris Jericho versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
This was good.
You remember that match?
Are you referring to the WrestleMania 25 match?
Yes, I am.
The return of the legends. It was nice. It was a nice feud just to hear Piper and Jericho sparring verbally.
Mm-hmm.
That was during Jericho's super heel gimmick. Yeah. Oh God, what was the movie he was basing that on?
Gammon, I can't remember.
That was the one that had to do with oh, what's his face? God damn it! Play Whiplash. Star of the Wrestler. Mickey Rourke.
Oh!
And it was because of the wrestler. That's why the storyline came about. Because the movie had just come out, and Jericho was having some problem with it.
Well, what was
and
going
and Piper
on?
And Piper came in to defend, basically, the old guys.
Yeah, Jericho was legit having a problem with Mickey Rourke, because Mickey Rourke was legit thinking he'd be able to go into WrestleMania, have a match with Chris Jericho, and legit win. Chris Jericho put him in his place 3 weeks from Sunday, and he actually took the feud with Mickey Rourke onto Larry King Live. And you can tell when Jericho's cutting a promo and when he's being deadly serious and not being the gimmick, but being Chris Irvine, saying, keep it up, I'm going to kick the crap out of you. And if anybody knows what he's like when he's in that mode, it's definitely me, because I remember when he was a bouncer in the nightclub here in Calgary before he made it big as a wrestler when he was still training with Stampede. And when he gave you that look, you knew you were in trouble. But yeah, Roddy came out and he started defending, and then Mickey Rourke backed out of the dumb idea that he had.
One that was sort of a slight recent one that I caught going through all these pay-per-views and stuff recently, and just the match alone is worth it. It's from one of the Cyber Sunday shows. 2006, as I actually pull up the file. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair and the people had the choice of Slaughter, Dusty, and Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Piper gets the win, so it's Flair and Piper versus the Spirit Squad.
Yeah.
In a 5-on-2 handicap for the tag titles, Flair and Piper won the belts. In 2006, they were tag champs.
Oh, God, I remember that. I mean, look at some of the things that he's responsible for. Pardon the pun, but literally, he kicked off professional wrestling's acceptance into the mainstream.
No, you didn't. That's the funny thing.
Well, no, I'm not saying...
As wrestling was taking off after WrestleMania 3, Piper left the company at that time. He missed that era of the rise and didn't reappear until 1996.
Oh, no, you got to go way back even further. This is the 80s, rock and wrestling. And what I'm talking about was he was the genesis. Right when he turned and kicked Cyndi Lauper in the head, that's what garnered mainstream attention for Vince McMahon and the WWF, and it snowballed from there. It got the ball rolling. It's like Bret Hart helped kick off the Mr. McMahon character with the Survivor Series screw job, right? It was the genesis, the absolute seed for what it became.
Yeah, I suppose. And you could sort of attribute that back to, you know, even WrestleMania 1 with the tag match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Piper and Orndorff versus Hogan and Mr. T followed up the very next year, but boxing match between Piper and Mr. T. And that was a weird thing. Like, Piper was legit when it came to his boxing, too. Like, he could knock motherfuckers out. But then again, I'm also looking through my match listing that I got for the watch list, and one of them is a boxing match between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Buff Bagwell. So I don't know how legit you want to make that one.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's a bit of a different entity, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but you also got to remember, on this list, I've also got Mr. America versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, of course, who can forget the backlot brawl at WrestleMania 12 between Goldust and Piper? Interspliced with the footage from O.J. Simpson's car chase.
If you don't remember that, then shame on you if you're a Roddy Piper fan.
if you're not really a Rowdy Roddy Piper fan, if you're a fan of really, really, really bad segments pretending to be a match, just go back and watch that thing between Piper and Goldust, and then go and compare it to the alleyway brawl in They Live, which in itself is funny, because the brawl that's done in the alleyway in They Live, if you can go and find the episode, there's an episode of South Park where that fight is recreated shot for shot between Jimmy and Timmy, so between the two cripples.
I do remember.
I think it's the actual episode Cripple Fight.
No.
Well, shit. Yeah. Well, that's one of the most famous fight scenes in movie history. You know that's Roddy Piper and Keith David. Both of them, like, I remember that. I was reminded of that fight scene playing Saints Row 4, where in the video game they redid the entire fight scene. You know, literally redid Keith David playing Keith David in the game versus Roddy Piper playing Roddy Piper in the game. So one of the first things I did after hearing the news is I loaded up Saints Row 4, because after that scene you get to recruit Roddy Piper into your crew. So you go do side quests, take out aliens, you know, fight rival gangs, that kind of thing, with Roddy Piper backing you up.
That'd be cool. But, you know, all of this stuff we're talking about Roddy, he did have the ability to legitimately garner heat with certain other individuals. How many of you remember Blackface against Bad News Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bad News Brown, known here locally in Calgary with Stampede Wrestling, is Bad News Allen, my very good friend Alan Kowaj, who actually guest co-hosted a whole lot of episodes of WTR Sunday Night. Was really not impressed. That was one of his road stories that he would tell of where he was legit ready to beat somebody up. And he's listed three people he wanted to at one point in time seriously kick the crap out of. One of them was Andre the Giant for Andre's racist remarks.
Good luck on that one. I don't think there would have been very many people who would have had a shot of trying to beat the shit out of Andre.
You don't know that entire story, do you? He challenged Andre in the locker room in front of everybody, and Andre backed down. Andre chickened out. You have to remember, Bad News Allen was an Olympic medalist in judo.
And you also got to remember, Andre was a very big pacifist.
Yeah, well, that too.
He never liked the fight, which is very weird for somebody in wrestling.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, if you don't like the fight, don't be using the N-word to try to piss somebody off. But he also wanted to beat up Owen Hart at one point in time. WWF house show in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Bad News Brown delivers his ghetto blaster, and that's supposed to knock you out. And the match is over. He wins. He's walking to the back. Owen Hart gets up and starts doing backflips off the top turnbuckle. And people always want, you know, people used to wonder where Teddy Hart got it. He got it from his Uncle Owen. But Bad News was he turned around. He was heading right back out to the ring to legitimately beat up Owen, but he got stopped by a bunch of the guys coming up from the back. So, and then the other person that he wanted to beat up happened to be Roddy, just for the blackface.
And yet that was still one of his best promos ever.
Yeah, well, after everything was all said and done a couple years later, they actually talked it out, and Bad News forgave him. And that's probably the only reason why he ever told that story on WTR, was because he forgave him. So, but if you could take out just the racist connotations, you're right. It's one of his better promos. Really? So,
well, it's bad guy 101. It's like, do what's going to piss off your opponent the most. Do what's going to get the crowd against you the most.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the right way and the wrong way to do it. Coming out in blackface to piss off Bad News Brand probably was the wrong way. So, but it made for a good road story, hearing about it. And there's no way I could ever do it justice, so I'm not even going to try to get into details and specifics about it. If we could ever find the Bad News Allen clip, I'm sure that we could get it posted at some point in time.
It's quite weird to see that the final time you get to see Piper doing anything WWE wise.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 31. Oh, was it 31? 30? What was the one where they used a little play button symbol? Was that 30 or 31?
That was last year. It was 30.
Yeah, that was 31.
Yeah. Congratulating Daniel Bryan winning the IC belt. That was the last time we got to see Piper in something WWE created. And for those of you going, oh, Legends House, no, Legends House was like 2 years prior to that. It just took them forever to put it on the network.
Yeah, and like how legit was Legends House as opposed to how scripted was Legends House?
God, who knows?
That fake game show where they were fake cheating? And Hacksaw said that when Roddy, the Kevin's to Roddy, I can't live without my blank. And Roddy said, wife. And Hacksaw thought he wrote down life. I can't live without my life.
Those two were the reason to watch that goddamn show.
Absolutely, man. I mean, God, you know, having Roddy disappear at midnight out in the back to wander the desert for 2 hours and clear his head. And then come back in and just the shit that the two of them would shoot before bedtime or first thing in the morning. that made that show. Man, I'm going to miss Roddy. And yes, you can call me Captain Obvious because that was an obvious statement.
Well, yeah. Hard not to miss the guy. If you're a pro wrestling fan of any kind.
Of any caliber that has been following wrestling more than 3 years.
Well, who are they going to trot out for old school Raw now?
Whew.
Because every old school Raw, you get Rowdy Roddy Piper coming back with the pit.
Yeah, well, they still have Ric Flair and bring out Shawn Michaels for some reason. I don't know.
Speaking of him, he'll be here this week.
Yes, he he's replacing
He Who Shall Not Be Named number two's
place. Yeah, version 2.0. So I guess Shawn Michaels is going to get a lot more paychecks from WWE for the next foreseeable future.
Well, maybe not. Sean prefers his hunting and his fishing to being in the ring these days.
Yeah, that's true.
I could almost say that's probably the reason why Shawn Michaels is coming down to Australia. He's probably taking an extra couple of days after the tour to go hunting and fishing.
Where would he go fishing? Would he go fishing and do some deep sea fishing, or have you got some really good lakes and streams?
He'd probably go coastal fishing. There's plenty of good coastal fishing up in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And some parts of Victoria. As for hunting, he's got no fucking chance because we are very anti-hunting law here. So,
oh damn! I'm just sitting here, just running absolutely everything in the back of my mind that I can remember watching Roddy. You know, there are four movies every wrestling fan should have in their collection. Four movies: Tremors, Army of Darkness, They Live, and Hell Comes to Frogtown are the four movies you should own if you're a true wrestling fan.
Because they're all so bad that they're good.
Exactly. And if you like Army of Darkness, you will absolutely love They Live.
Put the glasses on, she's beautiful. Take the glasses off, formaldehyde face.
Yep. That was actually one of the clips that we used in the opening sequence tonight for Roddy. Absolutely.
And to think, you know, a lot of people who grew up in the 90s playing video games will always try and credit Duke Nukem to, you know, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, but I'm all out of gum. Yet anyone who's actually got, you know, some brains or maybe a little bit older will know that's a Roddy Piper line.
Well, first off, you have to account for the, you know, for the average IQ level of someone who really likes Duke Nukem.
That quote from Roddy Piper is actually, I do believe, one of IMDb's top 100 memorable movie quotes.
It is indeed. It is one of the most iconic lines in cinema.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't remember what number IMDb has it at, but I remember it's pretty damn high up there, I think, if I remember right. And I'm pretty sure I'm remembering correctly. I think it's even higher than You're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat.
As both Omega and I are like, quick, let's see if we can find it.
You guys are Googling it right now, aren't you? Well, all I can do is wish you good luck in finding it in a timely fashion. We're 7 minutes away from the top of the hour, everybody. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've been spending the last hour remembering pretty much one of the best, all-time greatest heels in the world of professional wrestling, the late, great Roddy Piper. If you tuned in late and you haven't been around since Wednesday. We lost the Hot Rod Thursday night, and the news broke Friday around noon that he had passed away. And we're just getting through the first hour of the program tonight, just remembering the Hot Rod.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm pretty much out of things to say on this topic. I hate to refer to it as a topic, because I have a lot of respect for the man, what he's done for wrestling, and will always be remembered for.
Mm-hmm.
And I got nothing left, man. it's just one of those things of I wouldn't even know how to really do a send off for Roddy.
Yeah, well, we scheduled pretty much the first hour for the Hot Rod, and we pretty much took care of the entire hour. Go ahead, Omega.
Even that, it's hard to articulate everything, because for me and Mace especially, he was one of those guys that kind of transcended just wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you didn't watch wrestling, you knew Rowdy Roddy Piper. Whether it's being the main villain on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
or random ass cameos he'd make, he showed up in the Super Mario Brothers show.
Uh huh.
Just because he was just like that, this personality was that strong. It didn't matter where he went, you knew it's just freaking Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Well, again, like you said, transcend. I mean, Roddy was mainstream, and you can credit professional wrestling if you want, but it wasn't just that. It was his, he was one of the best, all time best promo cutters that ever worked a wrestling company. Definitely. That added to it. His ability to get along with everybody and just relate to random people.
I'm hoping 2K decide to do something a bit more for Roddy. I know we're heading into August, the game comes out in October.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, put it down as DLC. Do like they did last year, put something out as DLC, a Best of Roddy Piper showcase mode or something. I'll happily throw $10 down on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I don't think anyone can really pay tribute better to Rowdy Roddy Piper than Ronda Rousey did last night.
Oh my God.
This is for Roddy. Foreman knocks the bitch out, and it's yep, my dad and Roddy would be very happy with that performance.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the post-fight interviews that she gave after the pay-per-view was over and done with, they brought it up, Roddy would have been pretty impressed with that. That was something, dedicating the fight to Roddy Piper, and she just brought up how, much respect and love she had for the guy.
Well, bitch deserved it in the first place, but... aside from the fact it's, it's Ronda Rousey,
yep.
It is now Rowdy Ronda Rousey, who
yep.
got permission for the name from Piper,
yep.
dedicating a match to Piper. Bitch was going to get fucked up.
Yeah, Beth, you had no chance, and, good on you for putting up such a brave front and actually pretending like you were going to go for 45 seconds against Ronda. Rowdy Ronda.
Well, if you listen to all the pre-match shit, she was so full of it.
So,
she really deserved to get the shit beaten out of her.
Yeah. Well, they've taken the UFC promos to an absolute professional wrestling level. I don't know if you can thank the fans who have decided to watch UFC. I don't know if you can thank the crossover stars who have worked both. I don't know if you can thank the wrestling stars who have been spotted at UFC events. It's just one has rubbed off on the other, whether you like it or not, Dana. We'll get into that when we get into the second hour of the show. But we're about to take our first time out, and probably our last time out of the evening, everybody, because we don't really have much of a show planned after this because of Roddy Piper. But as we go to commercial break, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back with some regular-ass programming. But as we go to break, listen carefully. This one's for the hot rod. Rest in peace, Roddy. We love you, man.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
It's gonna be great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit!
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet, just yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to change King the Cobra.
No, no, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that was way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a little pop them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
In the house, I'm out of here.
There you go. Yeah. Welcome back,
Mace. It's already over.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night.
What'd you say? I was facing canvas.
If you missed it during the commercial break, Ronda Rousey just beat up Compton, the entire suburb of Los Angeles. During the commercial break, she beat up all of Compton.
Okay. Why
didn't
Compton?
Get it? I don't know because
that was the tie-in. That was one of the promoters for the fight last night.
Straight out of Compton, bro. It's a movie about how NWA became rich and famous and crap.
So it's a wrestling movie.
Which I'll be honest, doesn't look like that bad of a movie to go see.
Yeah, you know, here I've always had this issue with that rap group NWA. Now, just in case you don't know, guys like Ice Cube was in NWA. Okay, now NWA. In case you don't understand what that stood for, it was the N-word with attitude. Now, if you're in the early mid-80s and you're calling yourself the N-word, isn't saying that you have attitude sort of redundant at that
not
point
really,
in time
not,
in history?
Not really. Given the cultural subtext of that era, you got to remember, this is NWA. This is Niggas With Attitudes. Basically, one of their hit song was Fuck the Police.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they were going out of their way to be that pretty much like almost a non-wrestling version of the NWO. You know, they went out of their way to be that type of, you know, in-your-face group.
Yeah, but at the same time, and, like, I bought the album, and I was singing all the damn songs and getting dirty looks whenever I drove through the hood here in Calgary, the hood being Forest Lawn, ironically enough. if you know
what did they do? Los throw hockey pucks at you.
Well, that's where the predominantly African American population lives in Calgary is Forest Lawn. It's the hood. We call it the hood here in Calgary. Now, how much money does this city have when you see three Ferraris in the hood and nobody's drug dealer? Oy. But anyway, back then in the early mid-80s when they were making it big and singing Fuck the Police and shit like that, I mean, yeah, back then if you called yourself a nigga, that was attitude. You didn't have to add it like you probably would nowadays. Just with the proliferation of the use of the N-word, and I'm trying not to get in trouble by using it as little as possible. So
unlike me, who says it all the time and says I don't give a fuck.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's a little racist now and then, Mace. To a point.
Yeah. Let's not get started on Australian racism. It's been in the news all fucking week.
Yeah, I wasn't even referring to that. I was referring to Hulk Hogan and what he said, but all good. No worries. Well, we did a really, really sloppy segue tie-in to UFC last night. Nobody cared about the card. It was average until Ronda Rousey came out. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Damn.
I didn't mind the Rua fight wasn't too bad. Like I watched all of the main card and there was some decent fights on there.
Well, but,
everybody was basically there to see Rousey.
Oh yeah, but I tell you, I did not mind the two Ultimate Fighter matches that they had. I mean, the one match for somebody who wants nothing but action, it would have been extremely boring. But it was a great technical match for two hopefuls trying to gain their contracts. They were exchanging guillotines back and forth at one point in time, and that was almost the entire second round of that fight was going back and forth with guillotines. And I found it, being somebody who really appreciates the mat technician work, the ground, you know, the mat work. I appreciated that match. I don't know if you did, guys.
Well, I appreciate some of the fights, but yeah, I prefer something that's, you know, stand up punching and just go all out.
I was bored as shit.
And you didn't have any problems mentioning that last night on CB radio?
No, not in the least. It wasn't even CB radio at first. It was just, hey, we haven't hung up after cards. Let's just bitch about this pay-per-view and wait for Ronda to show up.
There you go.
Yeah, and all you poor bastards, like, it's not so bad for me because the main card started at midday, which means I was getting the main event at like 2:30 in the afternoon. You guys had to be up till like 1:30 in the morning to watch the Ronda Rousey fight.
Yeah, no, I was up till 11:30 watching it. It was over at 11:30 and 30 seconds, and I'm like, okay, we're good. I don't need to see anything else.
Technically, that's an hour into CB radio. Technically.
Technically, but yeah.
You know, as it goes.
I have seen...
I saw all the complaints coming up on Twitter. It's like 1:30 in the morning and we're still waiting for the Ronda Rousey fight to begin. I'm just sitting here going, yeah, it's fucking afternoon. Suck shit.
Yeah. Everyone on Twitter posting photos of, oh, waiting for the Rousey fight. And, yeah, it's a picture of a skeleton chilling on the couch.
Yeah.
Okay, picture of a skeleton at their computer. Okay, I get the joke.
There you go.
Then the fight starts, and then the fight's over. Now we're all waiting for the gif of the fight to happen.
I believe it takes like a little Instagram 30-second clip to get the whole thing in there. She didn't want to just like make a tap out to the arm bar. She actually wanted to beat the crap out of her this time.
Well, you know, the punch and she goes over in a car, you know, and of course my son Owen has impeccable timing. All night long, I'm watching the fight and I'm waiting for Ronda to come out. I'm waiting. Sure enough, here she comes. The fight's just about to start and my phone rings and I'm like, I'm going to ignore it. Oh, no, I'm not. It's Owen. He's the one person that I won't ignore when he calls, no matter what time, no matter what reason. Which is understandable. So, yeah, just absolutely impeccable timing. And I can't, you know, I wanted to just watch the fight, but, oh, damn it, Owen. Did you get your sense of timing from your mother? Because you didn't get it from me. It couldn't have worked out perfectly if you planned it.
Tim, to quote Tim, Ronda Rousey fight, don't blink or you miss it. 4 minutes later. Yep. Seriously, how did that end?
Yeah, seriously, what the hell happened? And they're all picking on me. Oh, come on, old man, you got Alzheimer's and you can't remember that far back. I'm like, fuck off! I was on the phone with my son, for Christ's sakes. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to pick on you if you're on the phone with your kid.
No, we'll still pick on you.
Yeah, but still. But yeah, no, it was kind of funny. But so my fail for the week is Owen calling at just the right time. No, I'm kidding.
But I gotta say though, it's quite amusing when somebody's fight career basically consists of .gif images and Vine compilations. Like somebody totaled up her last 12 fights that she's had professionally comes to 140 seconds.
Yep. Now, for those of you who can't do math,
2 minutes.
Those of you who can't
seconds.
Do math, that's 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
In UFC, she hasn't lasted one round. Technically, her entire
round
career could take place in round one.
Round two, ain't nobody got time for that.
It's like 24-hour banking. I don't have time for that.
We have to start booking her the way they used to book Ryback, 2-on-1.
What? So she can extend it out to what, 40 seconds?
Yep.
I say screw her. Just let her fight the men. Ronda Rousey versus Brock Lesnar. Let's book that one.
Might as well. How about, okay, CM Punk wants to make a splash when he debuts at UFC? CM Punk versus Ronda Rousey. I'm there. Ringside seat. Am I wrong?
I'd take out a loan and I'd be front row ringside for that one, actually.
God damn straight. That'd be good. So we're
only because I laugh my ass off when CM Punk becomes Ronda Rousey's bitch.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk in a minute about what Dana White said to draw the ire of a lot of professional wrestlers and wrestling fans alike. But really quickly, win fail. We haven't done that yet. So normally we do that at the top of the show. But, you know, circumstances being what they were. My win for the week was John Cena, Seth Rollins. I mean, Jesus, Murphy. Cena staying in the match and going through it after it looked like somebody took a roll of toilet paper and shoved it up his right nostril.
I got to correct you, Tim. Most of Cena stayed in the match. His nose sort of left the building.
Smart ass. Yeah. Most of Cena stayed. Well, no, most Cena's
face left.
Cena's nose stayed in the match. It just changed seats.
Just changed seats. Okay. I'll go with that.
But you see pictures of it. It looked like somebody stuffed a complete full roll of face El Royale up there. And it was also an absolutely great match, and
Jesus.
The crowd just really into it from start to finish, especially after the nose break. This is awesome! Clap, clap, clap! And after Cena wins, and Rollins is gone, Cena's thanking the crowd, and he's legitimately, like he always does, sincerely saying thank you, and he's facing everybody, pointing to them, and nodding and bowing and saying thank you. And the crowd, not once, I do not recall hearing a single Cena sucks chant. I heard a standing ovation. I saw a standing ovation. And that's my win for the week. Omega, I said I was going to call you out first, so let's go to Mace.
Believe it or not, I'll give the win to John Cena for sticking it out in that match, but I won't praise the match itself.
Okay.
To be honest, up until that point, that match was a fucking stinker. It was just boring as batshit, and you know the shit cherry on the top of a shit sundae that was Raw last week.
Yeah.
So there's my fail is fucking Raw, but I will give John Cena the win for the week for toughing it out with his nose being in like 15 different pieces in 15 different zip codes.
Okay, fair enough. Omega.
How could you not? That was the win for the week.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Cena's nose reminded me of when, like before the internet, and I was trying to listen through pay-per-view through, like, the pay-per-view, like, filter.
Uh-huh.
And, like half his face was over on one side and half his face was over the other.
Oh, I remember those days when you couldn't afford to buy the pay-per-view, but you still got the audio stream clear as a bell and the picture was just fucked up.
Yeah.
Yep. Scrambled cable.
That is what it reminded me of. Like, I will agree with Mace, it wasn't a good match, and it really screams of the problem with WWE booking right now, which is the only way they know to make someone credible as a contender for the world title is to have them beat the world champion, which makes no sense when you're trying to sell a match between these two. Like, why am I paying for it? I watched it on Raw. It kind of sucked until Cena's face relocated, but yeah, like that's where Cena's I'm sorry, I'm getting weird.
Someone decided to click the link that was posted out.
Oh, you heard that? You heard that in the background, did you?
That threw Omega off. He was in it. He was on a roll, and we heard it in the background. Him.
Piper's making an entrance from beyond the grave.
I didn't think
I'm going to get hit with a coconut.
Because I clicked the link on my phone, I didn't think that it would pick up the phone because my phone isn't normally that loud. But
Skype has a button marked mute, Tim.
Yeah, well, I'm not on Skype on my phone, so
it doesn't matter.
But
you're
anyway.
On Skype now. There's a button marked mute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just so everybody knows what's going on, the opening of the show tonight, the Rowdy Roddy Piper audio tribute that we put together is now available on YouTube. Those of you listening live, the link is actually posted with the Twitter autorespond. It'll be on the Facebook Wild Talk Radio pages and, of course, all over Twitter. So you'll be able to listen and or download at your leisure what we put together for you. So,
back to Omega complaining about Seth Rollins losing to John Cena.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Back,
okay, yes. Well, I will give Cena all the credit in the world. Like, I've seen lesser men cancel matches because they dislocated a finger.
Yep.
We're looking at you, Sin Cara.
Formerly known as Sin Cara, still occasionally called Sin Cara since he wants to test WWE's lawyers down in Mexico. But yeah, like, good fucking lord, that had to suck in so many ways. Mm-hmm. To gut that match out, you know, and geez, I don't even want to say, like, I'm sure they rushed it to a point, but it didn't really feel like it.
No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They really didn't.
They
rush
did
it.
Not rush it.
They did pull a, oh shit, Cena, you're okay? Do you want to go? Do you want to go home early? It's like, no, fuck it, I'll be good. I think I kind of feel my face, but I think I'm good.
God, I just wonder, like, if he actually got to a point in the match and did the "You Can't See Me" with his nose kind of bob back and forth when he did it.
Shit.
No, like, okay, huge respect to huge respect to Cena for that.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Good lord, I would have cried up into the corner and cried for the rest of the night.
Well, if you've ever been,
dude would have been running on adrenaline. He probably didn't realize how bad it was until he got backstage and people went, John, half your nose is in your earlobe.
Yeah.
Because they cleaned them up. And he, you know, and they clean them up. I'm good. And then, well, oh, then you look and it's like, oh, my nose is not there.
Well, it takes 2 to 5 minutes for your nose to swell up. So he had that 2 to 5 minutes after it happened and he's face down checking it where it doesn't feel totally screwed up. And then the trainer or doctor or whatever came over to wipe his face and double check on him. And decided to continue the match. But as you watch that match, I swear to God, every time they put the camera on Cena, you can see the fucking nose grow bigger and more out of place.
He was Pinocchio-ing that motherfucker.
Yeah, you watch the match as he goes from Triple H to Owen Hart to novelty glasses and nose.
The stupid thing is, like, from the way John Cena seems backstage, I can imagine him going backstage, everybody going, oh, John, your nose is fucked. And just see him chasing Nikki down the corridor going, hey, honey, give me a kiss.
But you could tell that he was having a really hard time breathing there in the last 3 to 5 minutes of the match for sure.
But to his credit, he took, what, the superplex into a suplex?
Yep.
With the busted nose?
Yeah. That was impressive, actually.
Yeah, that's just a really good move.
That was actually some really good timing. It was like, holy shit, that's impressive. 2K guys, can you capture that?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to do that.
And they pulled that out on a Raw match. Imagine what they'll do at SummerSlam if he's healthy.
That'd be good.
We'll see what happens. John's resting up right now and screwing up the live tour for this week.
I guarantee you he's not wrestling tomorrow.
He's been pulled till the go home.
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll get appearances on Raw. Just
nope, he's been pulled.
Not tomorrow.
He's been pulled.
He's not even making any kind of just like speech on the mic. Wow.
He's been pulled. They don't want. I don't think they want him flying at the moment.
Well, that's that's understandable. I mean, flying killed Chris Candido.
Well, that also you got to remember the pressurization of a plane can play on the sinus of your nose.
That's what I was going for.
That as well.
As someone who has had nose injuries in the past, and also I have trouble breathing through my nose normally, mm-hmm. which is why you always hear me breathing on these shows. Actually, I've had the bone in my nose actually get pushed up into my skull.
As a
child, so absolutely shattered the front of my nose. When I get onto a plane, it is murder during takeoff and landing.
Uh huh.
The pressure on the nose is just excruciating, and mind you, my nose has been healed for over a decade. If mm-hmm. John was to try and fly, mm-hmm. oh my God, it'd feel like the Big Show was stomping on his nose or something.
You can guarantee he'd be seeing stars even before they got off the taxi.
And the normal process for a broken nose is, 6 weeks to heal at least?
Well, you know, any fracture is 6 weeks, but with a broken nose, that's not bone, that's cartilage. And you could go from 6 to 12 weeks before that's properly fully healed.
And SummerSlam isn't
And in the meantime, he's going to wear a nice plexiglass mask.
Yeah, because he's not missing SummerSlam.
No. It's John Cena. If he had the choice, he wouldn't be missing Raw tomorrow.
Well, next year, he's back.
Hey, Cody, can I borrow your mask?
and
all of a sudden it's being sold on WWEshop.com.
There you go. Yeah. So my fail for the week are all the anti-Cena crap that I've seen this past week from idiots and morons who are just absolutely adamant about putting John Cena down. The guy has delivered some of WWE's best free matches on regular television for the last 3 months.
Longer.
And he's won where he's supposed to win, and he's put over people he was supposed to put over. And even in losing, his opponents losing, he still made them look like $1 million.
I'm just wondering, if John Cena has to wear like some sort of facial covering at SummerSlam, do you reckon they'll merchandise that as a line of "you can't see my nose" gimmicks?
Well, if they don't, then somebody should definitely take advantage of it before WWE copyrights it.
Yeah. Well, now that I've said it, you watch. It'll be out tomorrow during Raw, and I won't receive any money.
Yep, because we all know WWE listens to us.
But mind you, like, with the whole Cena thing, like, this for us, like, we've got the Australia Live Tour this week.
Yep.
later this week, I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is the live tours. Now, they're pretty much doing the same card every show.
Yep.
This was the card as of three days ago, mm-hmm. right? Heavyweight Championship, Ambrose versus Rollins. Champion versus champion match. This is how they had it built. Cena versus Owens. Hmm. Well, Cena's now out. Orton versus Sheamus. An IC title match between Ryback and Luke Harper. Wait, Ryback's gone. Neville versus Barrett. NXT championship match. Finn Bálor versus Bo Dallas.
Wait. They have champion versus champion, and they have the NXT. Okay. Just making sure.
Emma and Natty versus the Bellas. Fandango versus Adam Rose. With your special guest general manager, Hulk Hogan. Wait, no, shit, he's gone.
Scratch that, brother.
So we lost half a card. Mind you, they have updated it since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've lost a Hogan, but you gained a Michaels.
And you lost a Cena, and you got a Cesaro.
I would take both of those.
Yeah, Cesaro versus Owens is what they've replaced that one with, and I'm like, I'm liking this idea.
That's a
Cesaro Owens, man, that's solid.
SummerSlam preview right there.
Hell yeah.
Truth versus Harper to replace Ryback. And yeah, that's the updated, and the rest of the card's the same thing. So we will get Finn Bálor live, which is like, his entrance is probably one reason to go. Cesaro versus Owens is like the only match on there I give a shit about.
Ambrose versus Rollins, that would be good.
Yeah, but I've seen that already. Mind you, I did get confirmation over the weekend. I have scored a pass to go to the meet and greet.
There you go.
So I get to go and meet Kevin Owens and some other bitch.
Some other bitch. Like he said it. So did you tell us what your fail was?
Yeah, the rest of Raw, pretty much all of Raw.
There you go. What about you, Omega?
The Wyatt segment.
Really?
How much talking can we do? I am so... Okay, Wyatt might be the best promo guy they have in the company right now. He talks extremely well in his character. That's all his character does, is talk. Talk and 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 talk. And eventually it has to mean something. But he only gets in the ring every now and then, and he usually loses his big matches, and almost always loses his big matches. So the talking really doesn't mean anything. And I can't believe the new face of fear when I have no reason to fear him because he's not intimidating. He talks.
He talks a good fight, but can he back it up? At no. This point, who cares? He's boring.
Great, great talker.
There you go.
I don't believe him. Like, I don't believe him anymore. It's too much. It's too much without any substance to it.
Like they said, what was it, 10 years ago? Shut up and wrestle.
Well, it's not even that. It's he claims to be the new face of fear, yet, you know, the current one or the old one, you know, that guy known as the Undertaker, beat the shit out of him. Sorry, you had the new face of nothing.
Gimmick ain't working right now.
Who's he beating? Like, Undertaker's scary as hell because you got next to no chance of walking out of that match, you know, with a victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole persona of Taker is you're going to go, you know, you're going to leave that match less of a man than you went in because he's that dominant in the ring. He's that intimidating. He's that bone-chilling. And Bray Wyatt has that potential, except in modern WWE, no one's allowed to be over. No one's allowed to be on a winning streak. No one's allowed to be any stronger than anyone else. And Wyatt just ends up being the bad guy for a face to look good against. And it never really works out.
Gotcha. Like,
he needs to be able to beat opponents and beat them soundly. You know, it needs... when you say... You know, Wyatt versus this. If this is going to be your new face of fear, and you say, here's Bray Wyatt in the match, it has to inspire dread in a sense that no matter who you put him up against, you think that they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be on that level. And they come close to making me, like, to actually believing this, like, new face of fear when he was, like, bringing up... playing a more psychological angle with Reigns, bringing up the daughter and all that, the fake tea party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mind screwy things like that, okay, that works. But, you know, and if he could beat Reigns, who was in the main event at Mania, who went toe-to-toe with Lesnar at Mania, if he could actually beat Reigns, I'd believe him. I don't. I'm tired of the talking. You know, I want something to back it up.
Fair enough. That'll work. Okay, so there's that really quick hit on one fail for the week. Really quick, he said facetiously. Guys, is there any word that sets wrestling fans off more than the word fake?
The N-word.
Yeah, one that you can actually say when you're white.
You can say it, you just can't say it and keep a career life or in some cases.
Anywhere where it might be recorded, whether your pants are on or not, don't say it. Anyway, yeah, Dana White got himself into a little bit of Hotwire with wrestling fans and even a few wrestlers by talking about his product and the prices versus WWE's pay-per-views and the $9.99. Fake shit should be $9.99. This is real stuff. You know, even when WWE wasn't relying on you buying the network for $10 a month, and they were selling their pay-per-views for, what, $49.95 a month. How many times did a WWE pay-per-view outbuy a UFC pay-per-view?
People buy UFC pay-per-views?
Yeah, exactly. Now, is a UFC pay-per-view overpriced? Some might say yes. The qualities of the UFC pay-per-view, well, Omega, chime in. Tell me what you think of the quality of the pay-per-view that you get to see, whether you pay for it or not.
For the $50 asking price,
yep.
I don't see how people pay that. Like, for starters, like, I don't like the idea of paying for an event where everything can end in the first round and I'm going to hear more commentators and commercials than I am the actual fights.
Yep. And then you look at professional wrestling for $50, you're getting an entertainment event. Yeah, okay, sure. People want to use predetermined instead of fake, whatever. It's a setup, but so is, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's fake shit. It should be $9.99. Okay, then this box season of Game of Thrones should only be $9.99.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you want to dish professional wrestling, tell John Cena's nose it's fake.
Well, that's why you make the... Well, here's the thing. It's not predetermined, because that just means that you know how the end is going to go.
Yeah,
no,
well, it's scripted.
It's choreographed.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah. Now, you know, here's the thing.
You're basically watching stunt actors in the ring, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the thing about professional wrestling. Mace, back me up on this, or totally shoot it, blow it out of the water if I'm wrong. Being a professional wrestler, you have to be extremely athletic. You have to be able to fight. You have to know what the hell you're doing. You might as well be in some kind of a real grappling match.
Well, yes and no. Like, I'm more inclined to side with Omega. What wrestling is a stage show. It is no different to watching a stunt performance at a theme park.
Yep.
It is no different to watching an action scene in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What the guys do is choreographed for safety reasons, but at the same time, to call it fake is saying that these guys are protected so much nothing that they do will ever hurt them, which is a load of shit, because my wrist wouldn't sound like that if wrestling was fucking fake.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have knee problems right now if wrestling was that fake. I wouldn't have hip problems right now if wrestling was that fake. I wouldn't have speech errors and everything else if I wasn't rocking 5 fucking concussions.
Uh-huh.
You know, and Frosty will back me up, and everybody else that's ever been in the ring will back me up.
Yep.
To call it a fake sport is bullshit.
Yep. You know, back in the 70s, people were paying the equivalent in today's prices of $100 a ticket to sit in the stands of a NASCAR track or a baseball stadium or Wembley Stadium in England to watch this guy take a motorcycle and jump 20 buses. Guy's name was Evel Knievel. He wasn't fake, you know. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't let's go out there and see if we fight or not. Back then, he was called a daredevil. Because if you made it, great. Nobody saw any blood or anything. If you didn't make it, he was breaking some bones. And this guy is in the Guinness Book of World Records for having broken every single goddamn bone in his body at least twice. And I grew up watching Evel Knievel every chance I got. As a matter of fact, he had this little toy out, the Evel Knievel stunt cycle. And it was just a little action figure of Evel Knievel and his motorcycle. You put this on a platform with a crank handle on the side, you revved it up, and when you stopped revving it, the motorcycle would take off and you could do tricks and stunts and the whole bit with this thing. It was a lot of fun. Oh god, I love the thing. I wish I still had it.
A couple $100 worth now.
A lot more than that, dude.
Yeah, anything official that Evel Knievel base is worth a fair dollar these days. But a lot of it is the social stigma that comes around with professional wrestling. It's the same thing. You can almost compare it to NASCAR. NASCAR has that, you know, oh, only stupid rednecks watch this shit where you watch cars taking left turns all day.
Yep.
Yeah. Wrestling has that stigma. It's, oh, it's this childish fake thing that how could you believe in such a thing? You know, that's the big difference, is the social stigma attached to the performance.
Well, don't forget, as late as the mid-70s, you know, Trailer Park Trash, Hicks, and Rednecks were the wrestling audience. That stigma you talk about carries over to today. And it doesn't matter how many rich and successful people you see going to these events because they grew up watching it on TV. Oh, you like wrestling, you must be stupid. Yeah, well, you know, I'm a doctor with a PhD and this, that, and the other fucking thing, and I could be my own lawyer if I get sued for malpractice and blah, 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 blah. But I like wrestling, so I must be dumb.
pretty, but that's pretty true. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the stigma.
Yeah, it's the stigma that's attached to to wrestling is the same one that's attached to NASCAR. Mm-hmm. It's the same one. It's not a part of the cool kids club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, MMA goes to the jock crowd at high school, that superiority mindset that they had back then. It plays mm-hmm. to that it's... type of person. Whereas your wrestling was, oh, nerds watch wrestling. Put it with your other fake shit.
That's a part of it, sir. Everyone in the mental perception of general America is, well, they think that wrestling fans think it's real. And that's where the whole stigma comes from.
It's still real to me, damn it, didn't help either.
No, it really didn't.
Nope.
But there's these social stigmas that just kind of have a hard time going away. You know, Adam Sandler just made a movie about, you know, a bunch of video game players who are all basement dwelling, you know, dorks in their 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's, no matter how big the entertainment industry's gotten for video games, that's still like mass public perception of it.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true of pro wrestling.
I'm only 31 and I don't live in a basement, okay?
Noted. But that's still like public perception of the whole thing. And the pro wrestling follows the same rules where you think that, just you fall into that NASCAR section of just, you know, ignorant, drunk, hillbilly hicks that are because, oh, well, you're watching something that's fake, you know? You know, like they mm-hmm. think they think they're being high and mighty by telling you, "Oh, it's fake." You know.
Oh, that's the one thing I can't stand. If I'm in a public place and they've got WWE Raw on, like if I go to the pub and they're showing Raw on the TV, and I'm sitting there drinking a nice cold one watching it, I will have somebody come up to me and do that. That's fake, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, let me
turn on the completely real Star Trek and watch people fly through space at warp speed and meet aliens. Because
yeah, that's ironically, totally real. Ironically, there's a program you brought up that has another stigma attached to it. Everybody knows how fanatical I am about Star Trek, and yes, I have made a few posts on IMDb on the Star Trek boards, and somebody called me out on another board about a movie that I was posting on. Just talking about the movie. Apparently this loser went and looked at my profile and my history and saw all these different posts on Star Trek and immediately assumed I was a 15-year-old kid with zits, 350 pounds, in my mother's basement in front of the computer, jerking off because I could never ever be with a real live girl.
Of course.
But yeah, there's another stigma, you know, anyway, going back to the last time this happened to me, it was a waitress with it was not a Hooters, but she had Hooters. She comes up, he says, "Oh, that's fake, you know." I said, "So are your tits. You don't hear me complaining."
Classy as always.
Well, I said it to her.
But the thing is, we all cop that argument, you know. Oh, wrestling is fake. But I'll turn around and I'll say, so's a movie, but you still watch that.
Yeah.
You know, so's most TV shows. Yeah, you'll still watch those.
Yeah. You know, ER is not real, right?
Yeah, you know, House doesn't exist.
Don't say that to Omega. He's on the line.
Huh? The Walking Dead isn't real yet.
Unless you live in Atlanta in the summertime.
No. At some point, I reckon we are going to have a zombie apocalypse one day. We're just being prepared for it.
Oh, jeez, you brought up Walking Dead. Did you hear about the
spin-off
they're doing? Oh, sorry.
Shut up.
I'll tell you later. Don't want to ruin it.
But the thing is, like, it seems that it's always okay. Again, it goes back to that social stigma that's attached to wrestling. Mm-hmm. It seems to be all right to watch TV shows that are completely fictional and have no idea, you know, they're just stupid throwaway fantasies. Same with movies, but they're publicly accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the stigma still exists for wrestling is because it is such a fake medium. Yet they're still trying to create the sensation of realism.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but pro wrestling kind of leads itself to that stigma because it does pretend like it is real, that these are the real names of these people. They are not actors. They really do hate each other, even though they traveled together all year round and apparently only have these little tiffs when we turn a camera on Monday nights.
Well, you know, going here we go again with professional wrestling. As late as the late 90s, wrestlers were holding on to their characters in public, perfect case in point is that story that Brett used to tell all the time about when he and Owen were feuding, that they'd ride on the same airplane but never sit with each other or talk to each other. They'd ignore each other in public. They wouldn't sit with each other in the restaurants or anything like that until Owen blew it one time in public on an airplane on the way home to Calgary. And he was reading a magazine in the airport, Brett was reading a magazine at the airport and said something, and Owen popped up and says, "Yeah, right. No, they were talking about it." And a stewardess came along, I'm sorry, flight attendant, and looked at the two of them, pointed, and yelled out, "I knew it!"
Yeah, but the thing is, that it's weird. Like, you know, we talk about the breaking kayfabe and how, you know, that type of situation happened. And it's become such a negative thing to the business that we know that these people don't actually hate each other, rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
And people use that against the show. But at the same time, take a look, and once again, I'll use The Walking Dead as a reference. You have The Walking Dead followed by The Talking Dead, where they will have somebody who died in that very episode that you just spent an hour watching now sitting on a couch going, "Oh yeah, we were doing this on set and that on set and rah rah rah, these are stories, blah blah blah." And everybody just goes, "Oh, that's awesome."
And of course it's hosted by the Nerdist. I love that guy. He's hilarious.
Well, I don't find him that funny, but
yeah.
But you know, it seems to be like it seems to be, again, it's you can watch one thing and know the behind the scenes goings on, and people use that against it, as opposed to, say, a TV show or a movie where they know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, and yet they're perfectly okay with it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the weirdest things. It's like, what seems to be bad for one thing is good for another. Why? We go back to the stigma attached to the company or the show.
It all boils, it all goes back to the stigma of who the fans are. And that's where it all comes from, is the belief that fans are toothless, redneck, idiot hillbillies. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the joke, what's got 32 teeth? Well, the entire side of the front row of the wrestling match.
Well, down here, the punchline to that one's the Collingwood Cheer Squad, but
you get
I get it.
that's the idea. So people who watch wrestling nowadays are some extremely smart people with extremely high-paying jobs. I mean, shit, billion dollar a year celebrities are big ass wrestling fans. I don't know if that counts.
I think you're going to see that stigma change now that the root of it has kind of changed. You know, things like the proliferation of wrestling podcasts like Talk Is Jericho and Steve Austin's, even the ones on the network that are very upfront about how the business really is.
Yep.
Things like the ESPN, the story they did, the behind the scenes on NXT.
Yeah.
You know, you see more and more of the business side coming out and being much more open about it. Like, kayfabe is dead.
Yeah.
You know, being more upfront about all of that and being like, yeah, this is how it really is. That's the root of the problem, is pretending like it's all real, all authentic all the time. Getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cut the weed off at the root, and then you just wait for the rest of it to filter out. You know, I honestly think that's the first biggest step to getting rid of that stigma.
Well, you know, 10 years from now, we'll probably get rid of all of the idiots who insist on telling fans that, you know, it's fake and stuff like that. It'll probably take 10 years, but it will finally happen. I watch professional wrestling, and you know what I do? For the 2 or 3 or 4 hours that the program is either, you know, live or on my TV set, I suspend my disbelief. But guess what? When I'm watching Game of Thrones or Mace, The Walking Dead, I suspend my disbelief. It makes it more entertaining that way. But when it's over, I come back to reality and realize, hey, you know what? That's not real. But I don't care because I'm entertained, so shut up.
And it's the same with wrestling for some of us. Like, I'll admit, I do suspend my disbelief at times with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's what I enjoy. But because it's not a part of the cool kids club or, you know, what people believe you should be watching as an adult,
They ridicule you, kill you for it.
It's kind of dumb, but what can you do?
But then again, after all this, what's Dana White been saying recently? Oh, I was doing it for a laugh. I love doing this shit. So basically, he was just being an asshole troll, so fuck him.
Well, let's face it, it got a lot of publicity, but there's a bit of a backfire because at least one professional wrestler kept his money and didn't buy the pay-per-view by the name of Taz.
Jeremy Borash.
Jeremy Borash.
Yeah.
Austin Aries and a bunch of others.
There's a bunch, and I said at least one. But
the funniest, funniest thing is, who main evented the record, the highest ranking UFC card in history?
Mm-hmm.
It would happen to be a current WWE pro wrestler called Brock Lesnar.
Fucking Lesnar. And one of the biggest backlashes that Dana White caused were all of these people coming out of the woodwork explaining UFC is only big and popular because of the glitz and the glamour of professional wrestling. And I mostly agree with that.
I see
MMA as the evolution of professional boxing, which was at its absolute peak in the late 70s through the mid 80s, and then had a resurgence with Mike Tyson.
Okay, I'll tell you personally, I've watched a lot of UFC since its induction. Like, I think I started watching UFC 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What they had back then, sure, it was some amazingly great fights, but from an entertainment standpoint, it was boring as batshit. The guys had come out, it was very boxing-like. You know, they walk out, they get in the octagon, they fight, they go. It wasn't until they started adding the WWE-style production values and, you know, getting a bit of glitz and glamour into the letting the guys have personalities, letting them cut their post-fight interviews and stuff like that, that UFC really started to take off.
Well, you know, Brock Lesnar.
So without the production that the WWE has made base level for any entertainment, sports entertainment deal,
mm-hmm.
UFC wouldn't be fucking anywhere near where it is today.
The small stuff you don't even think of. I mean, we came back to this segment. What was playing? Ronda Rousey's theme song when she comes to the ring.
Yep.
Who fucking started that?
That would be professional wrestling. It was Vince turning the entrance into a rock video, thanks to MTV, taking a cue from MTV.
Yeah, but then you also take a look at their production of their pre-fight, you know, recap stuff.
Yep.
And it's this big interview-based thing with your voiceover and very dramatic-sounding music and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's all cues from professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's the exact same hype promo, highlight reel of, you know, the weigh-in, the clips of them training, et cetera, all the trash talk clipped into one little, you know, minute and a half, 2 minute nugget.
Yep. Well, you know, like going back again, talking about Brock Lesnar winning the UFC heavyweight title. Do you remember the promo? And it was a promo that he cut post-fight interview when he won the title.
Fuck Budweiser, I drink Coors.
Yeah, because Budweiser doesn't pay me any money, so fuck Budweiser, I drink Coors, and I'm going to go home and climb on top of my wife. And, of course, the next day, Dana White publicly berated Brock Lesnar for cutting a pro wrestling promo. But behind the scenes, you know that he had a great big goddamn grin ear to ear because that put the spotlight squarely on UFC. And all it took was a two-minute promo cut by, and I'm sorry, don't call him a UFC fighter, an ultimate fighter. He's a professional wrestler, Brock Lesnar.
And let's be honest. In the past week, we've had the passing of Rowdy Roddy Piper, which has made national news around the world. Not as entertainment news, not as sports-related news, but as a world news, you must hear about this phenomenon. The only time you ever hear about UFC fights lately is when Ronda Rousey has knocked somebody the fuck out.
In 30
or
seconds
made them
or less.
Yeah. Yeah, 50 bucks, and the only thing people care about is the 30 seconds at the end.
Jeez,
it's like a Marvel movie.
50 bucks for 30 seconds. Man, wow. There's some kind of a bad joke involving a hooker in there somewhere.
I was about to say, you know, that almost sounds like a lap dance at the strip club or something.
There you go. So... We already talked about John Cena breaking his nose. We're at the top of the second hour of the show. I think, you know, we could start talking Survivor Series starting next week because we're on the road to SummerSlam. But after SummerSlam, the next big pay-per-views coming up in November, there's a reason why we're going to start focusing on Survivor Series, and we'll let you know next week. Do you guys mind if we skip that and just go to the all-time greatest?
Sounds good to me.
Go ahead.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
And it ends tonight.
We're never doing the segment again?
No, we're doing a new segment after this, but this is it.
We're gonna
for
the,
this version of the all-time greatest. We're determining a winner.
We're gonna
tonight.
We're gonna know the all-time greatest finishing move ever, according to you three.
Eliminations
right now. So
it's rigged. Warrior should have won.
Jackhammer takes on the top rope brainbuster. Omega.
It's not going to win, but Jackhammer. I will give you this, the top rope brainbuster. Very brutal move. Extremely convoluted and situational. I'm not a fan of finishers that require you to drag someone all the way to the top rope and climb up the top rope to do it. Like, the muscle buster is one thing. Okay, you need that to elevate it. I've seen the muscle buster done without the turnbuckle, too. And it's more impressive that way. The top rope brainbuster is brutal, but you've got to drag someone all the way to the corner. Get them up in the corner. Get you into the corner. Get them picked up like a superplex. And then drop them down. It's one of those finisher moves. It's just like it's like Canadian Destroyer to me. It's just like there's too much, you know, there's too much suspension of disbelief going on here. The jackhammer is just brutal wherever it hits from. You can do the fucking thing on the outside of the ring if you wanted to.
All right, Mace.
Both involve suplex delivering some sort of impact.
Yes.
Essentially, same style of move-ish. Same setup, same impact. You know what? I'm going to make Omega's day, and I'm going to go for the jackhammer as well.
Aww.
Just so you won't bitch and whinge.
All right, Tim. You can make your voice heard, I guess.
Top rope brainbuster, because fuck you guys.
Really?
Fuck you guys.
Sorry, I can't get behind a finisher that can only be done at 4 points in the entire arena.
I can't, because it's just like, you know, suspend your disbelief and figure that all the circumstances need to be done a certain way so you have the ability to drag the guy's ass up to the top rope and then bust his brain. Yeah, so.
So there you go. Jackhammer moves on.
Because of burps.
Because of burps. 3D versus F5.
F5. Game over.
Any reason, though? Just game over?
Because it's the fucking F5.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Busy Googling the 3D. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. For the life of me, I can't remember what the 3D is.
Just listening to you type away and I forget to pick on you.
No, it's going to be the F5. Like, 3D is, that's my favorite tag team finisher, but it's nowhere near as physically dominant as the F5.
Okay. Tim?
Brock Lesnar's F5 is meant to make a statement because it's Brock Lesnar giving you the F-goddamn-5.
Uh-huh.
3D, yeah, first off, it's a tag team finisher. It's just, it doesn't put the exclamation point on getting your ass kicked. Like, the F5 is like, you know, the exclamation point on the fact that Brock Lesnar just beat the shit out of you.
Right.
So, yeah, guess what I'm picking?
You're going with the 3A.
I was going to pick my nose. F5, shut up.
All right, Jackhammer versus F5, Omega.
See, how'd this go at WrestleMania 20?
Lots of stunners.
Lots of stunners. Yeah, stunner
yeah,
won that
say,
one.
I was about to say, stunner's going to have to win this one if that's the case.
This one's going to be F5 because, okay, I like the jackhammer. However, you raise a really good point with the F5. It's not just the fact that it's a brutal finisher. It's the exclamation point that Brock delivers. You just got hit with the F5. You're done. It's fucking over. Goldberg's jackhammer doesn't have that, because the big hype move, the one that said, oh, this is over, was the spear.
Right.
That was the high impact move. That was the setup. And it's technically a two-part finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Where jackhammer just happens to be the end of it. But it's the exclamation point was the prelude to the jackhammer. And one without the other just doesn't have the impact and just the it factor, for lack of a better term, that the F5 has all by itself.
Okay. Alright, so F5 for Omega?
Yeah, I'm going F5 on this one. Both are basically exclamation points in terms of we're going to just fucking, you're done. But for me, it's, you've got Bill Goldberg who will pick the guy up and basically hold him there for 16 seconds, then hit the move. Brock's like, no, fuck you. I caught you out of midair, or you're on the ground, or you're on my back or something. I'm going to throw you around like a ragdoll to get you in a position, then I'm just going to drill you so far through the mat that your shadow is going to become you, because you're going to be drilled basically beyond your own shadow's capabilities. So, yeah. F5's winning. That, and I'm afraid that if I don't vote F5, Brock's going to come and kill me in my sleep.
So we have the F5 playing on the screen right now. Tim?
The sharpshooter.
No. It's not how it works.
Doesn't matter, because F5 wins, so I'll just, you know, fuck around.
So, according to these guys, the all-time greatest finishing move, F5, took us...
Now somebody tweet that to Paul Heyman.
That took us 6 months to get here. Actually 7 months to get here. 7 months to get here would have taken 6 if we didn't take a few weeks off and pay-per-views. But took us 7 months, we figured it out.
It could have been done at the beginning of June. But no, we stretched it out, because this means now we got to think of a new all-time greatest to replace this.
Which we have.
That's gonna take forever. It's going to take a long time. Rock, if you have some Jeopardy music, let's talk while we play the Jeopardy music, and then we can come back with our thoughts.
No. No.
Yeah, we've got a new all-time greatest all ready to go. As a matter of fact, we've got the next two kind of picked out.
Yes, we do. We actually did some planning.
And guess what? We did it last night.
No.
Ahead of time.
No, we did it this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, shit, that was this afternoon. I thought it was like...
It was this afternoon.
But it's a productive afternoon when it gives you content for the show for a whole year.
It took us like 10 minutes.
We have it playing the WrestleMania. All right.
Yep, we've got two all-time greatests that will take us to WrestleMania.
Hold on. So we basically finished this inside of a year?
Yep.
We did this 7 months, yes.
Holy shit.
Well, hey, wait,
that was
wait,
possible with us.
Wait for this one, Mace. Guaranteed, the next all-time greatest will be done the night of Survivor Series.
Hook or by crook, it will be done.
That's guaranteed.
Hook or by crook or by Rock's dodgy booking.
No, it's guaranteed. It's the way we worked it out in 10 minutes this afternoon when I was supposed to be at work and said, fuck it, I'm coming home.
Called, we looked at a calendar and planned things out.
Who looked at a calendar?
I did, because I had to count how many weeks they were.
Okay. So based upon all this, we are also taking into account times where either myself, Omega, or Tim will be away and we can't do it.
It's called...
Oh, didn't you hear? Didn't you know?
You got fired from your job and you'll actually be here every Sunday?
No. I wouldn't mind getting fired from my job, because they got to pay me 2 weeks' salary for every year work, because I've been there over 4 years. So, you know, I could take 2 months off and not have to worry about it. No, unfortunately, that's not it. We have secured the services of a guest co-host for WTR Sunday Night for when one of us can't be on the show.
And if we miss a show, we're going to double it up so we end on Survivor Series.
And also, this special guest host will be chipping in on a couple of pay-per-view nights as well. So we'll have another voice for some of the pay-per-views.
Hey, Omega, you want to take a couple of months off?
Sure.
No, you, well, no, you can't do that.
It's not how this works.
That's not how it works.
But I could do so much work in, you know, the 2-3 hours this takes.
Anyway, let's end this show outright, Tim.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We need to replace that with a brand new voiceover because we've had that for 5 years now.
And we also use the same outro music we've used since you came back in 2008.
We need to change that too.
At some point. In 2017, we'll change everything. Mace. What type of porn does the Green Arrow watch?
Come on, say it. Smurf porn.
Why would the Green Arrow watch Smurf porn? No, Tim, no. Okay, I'll actually have to explain this one, but he watches clown porn.
Okay, explain this one.
Okay, this is basically me going to be a comic book nerd. Anybody who has read the Injustice...
to what else?
Yeah, good point.
As opposed to what the fuck else are you?
For anyone who has not read the Injustice Gods Among Us comic book series that meant to be the prequel to the game that is going way longer than the game took to develop... For a short while there, Green Arrow and Harley Quinn had a bit of a thing. And, yeah. So I'm quite sure he's got a bit of a clown fetish.
Once again, not in a basement.
Not in a basement.
No, in the Arrow Cave, which got renamed the Quiver. I'm a nerd!
Tim?
He's a nerd.
Yes, he is.
You're right.
Tim? What type of porn does Superman watch?
Superman porn?
That's not a thing. What type of actual porn does Superman watch?
Speed porn?
No, Rock, I'm sure Superman porn is a thing.
Smurf porn? He watches Smurf porn. Because they're blue, like his uniform.
Oh, God.
No?
Really, you didn't go skeleton porn because he can see everything through x-rays?
There you go. He doesn't need to watch porn. He's got x-ray vision.
All right, fine. Omega, what...
I would count that as an answer. That was a good answer.
Omega, what type of porn does The Thing watch?
The Thing?
The Thing.
Rockstar porn.
Does it matter? It's rock hard no matter what.
Omega.
He's here till Sunday, folks. Try the chicken.
Tip the veal, try the waitress.
Wait a minute. I almost went for that.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
He's got you bent over backwards with this one.
Shut up.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Kind of sort of slipped my mind we were talking
God,
about.
It's not even a good one for a joke.
Warren. God, oops.
Like, I was ready for him to ask a lot of different superheroes. Thing was not one of them. God, I got nothing.
The scary you know thing what? Is you got the two biggest nerds on the network actually thinking about this shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna say big girl porn just because he's jealous of how soft everything is.
Fat girl porn. Fat chick porn.
Anyway, Maze...
Even though he's too politically correct to say fat chick porn.
Technically, if I was going to go with the thing, I would have gone Blind Pawn, but...
Yeah. See, I know what you're going for there, because I'm dork like that, too. I couldn't figure out what the hell Blind Porn would be.
What would Blind Porn be?
A lot of filling around.
I thought
is it in yet? No, that's a light socket.
I can't tell what this braille says. Those are my nipples.
Anyway, Mace, what type of porn does the Flash watch?
He just watches porn, but the thing is, he actually makes it to the end of it.
Oh!
Alright, Tim, Batman. What type of porn does Batman watch?
Oh, shit. Gothic porn.
Why gothic?
Think about it. He's theatrical, wears a costume, surrounded by bats, hangs out in a cave.
So, Omega, we're up to you, because I don't know, where we left off at.
Somebody was talking, and then it went quiet.
You're explaining why Batman was into gothic porn when the obvious answer was hentai cat girls.
And finally, because now everything's loaded up and working, Omega, what type of porn does the Black Widow watch?
Ooh. She's into snuff films.
Now, I was going to say femdom porn.
Gundam porn?
Girls in charge.
I know what you're talking... Yeah, I know. It's just...
She has to get it from somewhere. They're not doing it for the Marvel movies.
I don't know. They got close with their appearance at the start of Avengers.
Damn, I need a drink.
Close, but you still had to buy a multi-pack to get a toy of her. I saw in the Lego aisle the other day where they actually took her off of the bike for they made a playset for Lego of that scene of her on the bike chasing down Ultron, and they swapped it so it's Captain America on the bike.
Why?
Because apparently rewriting the entire scene of the movie is going to sell toys to boys better. I don't know. It's some stupid misogynistic shit.
That's crap. That's all I can say. It's crap. But speaking of crap, hey, we're done with the show.
Yay!
Yeah, there you go. All right, everybody. Yeah, you tuned in. You listened to WTR Sunday night, and we are extremely grateful. Don't forget tomorrow, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Hey, the multi-time award-winning The Rack is on Thursday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Tough Enough, NXT, probably some SmackDown, probably a little bit of all the news that you possibly handle. It's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 4, now available. Episode 5 will be available on Wednesday.
Hey, Saturday night, midnight-ish, Eastern, or as close as they can get to it, provided there's no UFC pay-per-view where you're spending $50 for a 30-second fight, it's another edition of CB Radio.
And even if there is a UFC pay-per-view, we were on the air doing it live. You can check out that episode now available at WildTalkRadio.com and CBRadioLive.com. We had Tim Stein and Omega, along with Lindsay, and our intern, King Kim, is on the show, along with Rob Parks, talking all about it. So check out CB Radio, Facebook.com/cigarettesandbandanas, at CB Radio WTR on the Twitter, CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, and hashtag Blame Rob.
Looking forward to being back on the show next year.
I wasn't on the show last night.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't. That wasn't me. that was somebody calling in sounding like you.
Someone calling in sounding like you.
That's yeah, why it sounded so old.
He took the shot, I didn't.
Yeah, well, he'll pay for it later. All right, don't forget next Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. It's the return of the show you're listening to right now, WTR Sunday Night, regular time and all this other shit. You can follow me, yours truly, the one and only Tim Stein, on two places on the Twitter machine, at Flames Forums or at Trivial Tim.
You know when you do that, Tim, and you know the one and only, I'm used to you spelling out the name.
I'm not going to spell it out, no.
That's too old school.
That's too, yeah, and that's just dead to me after what happened last year. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. Check out the Wild Talk Network, Wild Talk Radio Network, on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Two different pages, people. Don't think that I screwed it up and said it wrong the first or the second time. Two different pages. So check out both of them. One's a like page, the other one's a fan page. Yeah, follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter machines.
Facebook.com/Wrestle Talk Radio.
And there's that one too. Facebook.com/Sports Talk Radio. And did you know that Mace is on Twitter?
Wait, he is?
Mace?
No, I'm not. I closed it.
You did not.
Sweet, we can now steal his name and post random things on it. Sweet!
No, you can find me on Twitter at TheMacing. You can also find what video game related bits and pieces I have been up to over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. Hopefully there should be some more content coming up very soon. I've put in for media passes for any manga anime festival and also PAX Australia. Other than that, I put review videos out there, so please watch them, because somebody should, I guess.
Maybe. He doesn't do it for himself, people. Tune in, damn it.
Pretty much. Also, beware, in a couple of weeks, I will have a New Zealander from Japan joining me here in Casa de Mace. Nick Ditty will be making a live appearance on the show. He's looking to come on the week before SummerSlam, so he can do his picks live, so he can tell Tim to shut the fuck up.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm going to have country boy Aaron Frost in a promo war with Nick Ditty. You watch.
No.
Sweet.
And he should hopefully be here also for the post-SummerSlam show in 3 weeks.
Awesome stuff, Mango. All right. Yeah, and of course, TJ Omega, Omega Reviews. Mm-hmm. TJ Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're like Omega everywhere except for one place.
Yeah, that place would be Facebook, so yeah. A page on Facebook is TJ Reviews. But why? Everywhere else...
Couldn't you call it TJ Omega Reviews?
I didn't want to make it that long.
Oh, God. It just wouldn't fit. Everywhere else.
He could have just went TJ Omega 1.
No. Hate that shit.
XX underscore TJ Omega underscore XX.
What is this, GeoCities? No.
GeoCities. What's a MySpace?
No, it's TJ Omega.
.tripod.com.
Fuck off. On the Angel Fire next. Over on Twitter, on YouTube, and TJOmega.org. You know, just Google TJ Omega. I'm sure I'll come up somewhere.
There you go. You'll find him everywhere. Yeah, and sometimes he even appears on CB Radio Saturday nights at midnight-ish.
What's a year?
Yeah, it's a one appearance quota per year.
Yeah, you'll be there next week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope to have y'all tune again next week. Spread the word. Let everybody know we're not going anywhere until somebody decides to. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you next weekend. Happy civic holiday, Canadians. Yay. Yay. No work tomorrow for most people. WildTalkRadio.com.